Yo, what up, everybody? Welcome back to another session of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, I'm coming to you guys once again, man, with another segment that is going to be powerful. It's going to be deep, and we really are going to jump into some things, man, that I feel could truly help you out. And today we are going to talk about living authentically. And the reason that I feel like this is so important is I had a true reality check today, y'all, that I have to share with you guys and really come to terms with who I am and what's going on with me and what's going on with you. I want you to be able to do the same, to come to the realization of who you are created to be and who you are as a person, and not the programming that you've been given and been shown to be somebody that you're truly not. So yo, I don't want you guys to go anywhere. We are going to be right back here on the House of Jay. What up, everybody? Welcome back to this session of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, I'm coming to you guys right now so we can talk about this problem that at some point in our life we've all really dealt with. And that is coming to our authentic self. Yo, we have so much programming in this world, people in our ears, in our minds, and in our space trying to tell us who we are, who we should be, but do we ever really take the time to realize who we truly are? And like I said, I was going to tell you guys why exactly this subject matter was brought to my mind and to my spirit, y'all, because I've had some deep conversations this week, and I had a reality check within myself, man, to understand that, like, I said, do I really know myself? Because I thought I did until a situation happened where y'all, like some of y'all know, I have 3 children, right? And I had this situation with the children and their mothers where it was the totality of it was just crazy, where it came at me and I thought, in my intellect, I thought I would be okay with it until the realization that, man, yo, this is tough, right? It's tougher than I thought not having my children there. It's tough, but not having all my children there at the same time like I really want. And I thought I could be okay with it, but I never came to the realization that this stuff is really, like, it's grinding on me. It's going deep, man. And it's a lot deeper than we really think. And then it causes us to pull back and not share the real us with the world that's ahead of us. So I had to tell myself, I said, you know what, Trey? Like, somewhere along the way, you decided not to share the real you with the world. Like, you thought to yourself, it's easy, it's just easier this way to be like this. It spares my feelings, it cuts down on drama, and I don't have to justify or defend myself. But even if you're thinking that as well, all right, maybe you think you're not worth knowing. And rather than let your insecurities get all tangled up, you bailed on authentic living. Right? And maybe fear or criticism or judgment got in the way. And maybe you have a long memory of times when you opened up and it didn't go so well. And like, I'm telling you, like, oh my gosh, like, I get it. Trust me, out of all people, I get it. Because I did it for so long. Like, fake feels safer and easier. It does to each and every one of us. Like, amen, I throw my hands up to that every single time because it's true. But you know what just might be one of the most compelling reasons that counterfeit living seems such a viable option? And a lot of times it's shame, right? and I know that's how it was for me. But because shame keeps us from being authentic, because it says who we are is not okay. That deep down, we believe the real us is unacceptable. So we present another version, one that looks less messy and more put together. Now, shame weaves its way into our self-worth, right? Reminding us of all the times that we put ourselves out there and didn't measure up. So shame makes us remember moments when we've shared the depths of our heart and we're met with ridicule or judgment or whatever, you know, came from the reaction of the people around us. And it sucks the life out of us. Like, shame makes a strong case for fake living. It really does. And the bad part about it is that shame is real. It's powerful and is stolen so much. Yet God is ready to remove it so you can live authentically. Right? He wants to heal anything keeping you from being you. Your Father is ready to free you up to who He created you to be, because He's not for counterfeit living. His plan was never for you to live tucked away, hiding in your, you know, your quote unquote, I'm not good enough feelings. God wants you to stand in His truth, live authentic and unwilling to conform to the world's unreasonable standards. And the fact of the matter is, it is so human to be afraid of living authentic. It really is. It's scary to unbelieve the messages of that shame has already whispered into your soul. It takes real grit to be honest about who you are and what you think. It takes guts to stand up and to speak out for what you believe. It takes grace to navigate it all. But I want you to know it matters. And God sees every choice you make to be real in a world that glorifies the fake. He sees it. And He alone will be your shield, your victory, and your hope in all that you do. So we got to get to a place of authentic living. And the ability to live authentic is rooted in our belief system. Like, you see, if we believe we're unlovable or unworthy or unacceptable, right, chances are we'll never feel the freedom to show the world who we really are. We won't risk getting our heart tangled in the knots of insecurity, because it'll hurt too much. And while family and friends may tell us we're a big bowl of awesomeness or whatever you want to say, like, we're not going to buy it. So no matter what anybody says to us, it's not going to penetrate and actually resonate within us. And the fear of being exposed feels too great and too scary. So we hide and we refuse to reveal ourselves. Like, I'm just be honest. If this sounds familiar to you and maybe how you think or feel. But if we choose to believe we are who God says we are, authentic living doesn't feel like swimming upstream in a torrential flood. We may struggle with insecurities, but we've anchored our identity in Jesus instead of in the options and opinions of others that they've put in front of us. So we might be fully aware of our shortcomings, but we don't know they don't disqualify us from loving or from being loved. And our willingness to open up and be authentic is fully rooted in what we believe about ourselves. And the only way we'll have a healthy, like a true healthy, not just a counterfeit, right? Because there's counterfeit healthy with people too, where they feel like they're healthy and they're really not. But a genuine healthy self-worth is by being, right, certain that our true identity, how God created us, rests in how God sees us. Having confidence in that truth helps us navigate each day with conviction. It gives us courage to be real rather than worry about what others think of us. When we trust God's truth about who we are, our authenticity will naturally shine in the world. And the decision to believe God will give us the grit and grace to be honest and we think, you know, about what we think and feel. And even more, right? Authentic living means your eyes are wide open. you're able to see when insecurities like shame, guilt, unforgiveness, and worthlessness encourages you to hide. It's supernatural of sorts. So God gives us spiritual eyes to recognize what's tangling us up so we can take our knots to him and his graciousness, right? When you ask him to, God removes the lies and replaces them with truth. And that divine exchange breeds confidence, and confidence breeds the authenticity that we need to function in this world the way God designed us. So don't let the world tell you who you're supposed to be. Let God remind you of who you already are and choose to stand in that knowledge. And when you know your identity is in Christ, it will help you understand and embrace God's will for your life. You'll be able to love with a genuine heart, and you'll be able to extend grace and put yourself out there again. Your ability to live authentic, right, is rooted in knowing your true identity and who you really are. And so we're going to talk about your identity. So let me tell you something. You're chosen, right? What God talks about is that you have been set aside and you are a divine royalty. You are God's own, and you have a voice and a purpose. And you have been called, and you have been saved from darkness and brought into light to shine. This is your identity. It's your proclamation. It deserves to be spoken into the world as your own personal I am declaration. Because I'm going to tell you guys, personally, I have declarations that I declare and proclaim every single morning I wake up, every time I'm at work, whenever I'm on my break, whenever I have a chance, I'm making sure I declare and proclaim every proclamation and affirmation I have in my life. So this is truth that you need to hold on to because it defines your authentic self. Now you read it out loud with me when you hear it in full voice. All right. Say, I am chosen. I have been set aside. I am divine royalty. I am God's own. I have a voice and a purpose. I have been called. I have been saved, and I am here to shine. Yes and amen times infinity and beyond. You have to keep it flowing through your spirit. You want to boil down the essence of who you are, right? You want to know your identity in a nutshell? Well, you just declared it. And you just spoke out your authentic self. Boom. It's that easy, y'all. But let me tell you, as we try to live real, rarely does our grit or grace come without the other. It really does take both to live authentically. It really does matter what we seek, truth over feelings. But it all starts with identity. My hope is that you have a clearer picture of who you are and how you were created and the value in knowing those truths about yourself. We simply cannot live genuine lives unless we genuinely know ourselves. So listen, when we really sink our teeth into the truth that our identity is fully rooted in our Creator, it will change everything. We'll be stronger in our resolve to be real. We'll be unshakable in the convictions of who we are and who we are not also. So we'll be faster to reject the untruths that bombard our heart and everything that has come into our mind that is not true that we need to filter out. And we will walk in a new level of peace and confidence. So pray for God to astound your heart, right, with the reality of how awesome you are. We're awesome people. We were beautifully and fearfully made. So ask him to ignite your passion for authenticity. Ask for a desire to pursue the truth of who you are over the life-draining feelings that we sometimes subscribe to. And then trust that God will solidify your identity in him, right? In him above all else. Like when you were created, God thought through every single detail. Let me explain how awesome we've been created, right? God thought through every single detail when he created us. All the little quirks you have, the funny way you laugh, you know, the fact that you may blink more than other people, or how tall you are, your skin tone, your voice tone, every hair on your head. It the Bible tells us, right, that the hairs on our head are numbered. It would be different if he said they were counted. It does not say that they're counted. Let me tell you how awesome God is. That means they are numbered. That means that if you have a hair that gets caught in a comb, he knows exactly what number that hair is. That whatever number, that if it's number 5,036, he knows what number hair that is. Right? And he knew the perfect gifts and talents to bake into you. He chose the perfect set of life experiences, both challenges and your joys, that you'd encounter. He decided your family, your friends, and whatever other community groups you'd be connected to. God even chose the perfect time to bring you onto the kingdom calendar. You're not a mistake. You were planned from the very beginning. And the most amazing part of our design is that God created us in his own image. That means right from the start, we've been 100% accepted by the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. We don't need to add anything to make ourselves more pleasing to God. From the beginning, we've had his stamp of approval. But somewhere along the way, you and I have decided to unbelieve this truth, and it's gotten us into trouble. Let's be real. Doing us has gotten us into trouble and stepping out of God's will and his way in our life. And we've essentially chosen to ignore what God knows about us and opted for what humanity thinks of us. So think about that. We've opted out of what God thinks of us, and we've opted into what other people who are on the same level as us, they're people just like us, but we've opted about what they think, for what they think. And no matter like what, we wonder why we're in a mess all the time. And I don't know about you, but like, I'm tired of living this way. I want to find the grit and grace to accept the everything awesome that God has created about me without being afraid to be who God created me to be. I want to find the confidence to live my one and only life in authentic ways. And more than anything, I want the courage to believe God about who I really am. The world has taken so much from you and from me. They've taken our confidence, our self-image. They've taken our sense of belonging, the freedom to be ourselves, our ability to trust, our peaceful heart. And I'm encouraging you to take it all back. This is your challenge to choose to change things up once and for all. Because when you boil it all down, you really have two choices. Believe what the enemy says about you, or you can believe what God says who you are. One choice will cause you to replay your failures, your shortcomings on a loop, being constantly reminded of all the things that you're not. The other will remind you of forgiveness and do-overs and grace. So ask God to open your ears to hear his truth. Ask for spiritual eyes to see his tenderness in your life, and ask for powerful reminders of awesomeness so that you can be confident in who God really made you to be. Like, we have to learn to extend and embrace forgiveness to be that way. So let me explain something. The idea of forgiving is great until it's your turn, right? Like, think about it. Like, we can easily support the idea of forgiveness until we're the one in the hot seat needing to extend grace to someone who has hurt us or hurt someone we care about. We can be advocates for letting go of offenses until someone disses something we stand for or goes against it or believes in. Then the idea of forgiving becomes a whole different beast altogether. And trust me, I'm going to segue this together and show you why forgiveness is part of your authenticity. Because for many of us, it's a complex issue with lots of twists and turns and our stories are layered with pains and letdowns. And the truth is, we have every reason not to forgive. But here's where that justification bites us in the butt, right? We cannot live genuinely when we're harboring unforgiveness in our heart. And why? Because it clouds how we see life and how we choose to live each and every day. So even more, it adds a filter to our interactions that keeps us guarded. We withhold, right? And we begin to respond in counterfeit ways. Careful to measure our words and manage our responses. And let me tell you something. It takes real courage to forgive. It can bring up fears, and sometimes it can take a bit of oomph, you know, like you can muster to extend that kind of unwanted grace. Then we collide with, I'm just going to go over the scripture I read, and it's in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's verses 26 and 27, and we understand why God is so adamant that we forgive. This answer to why should I forgive paints a powerful picture, and there are two big truths that stand out. The unforgiveness, number one, is a sin, and number two, it opens the door for the enemy. I've seen this combination at work, like in my life, right? And chances are, because you're alive and on planet Earth, right, then you have too. And when we make the conscious decision not to forgive, we are sinning because it goes against what God has commanded us to do. Simple as that. And holding on to offenses is like placing a key in our heart into the key to our heart into the hands of the enemy. And we've just granted like unlimited access to someone who hates us and wants to ruin our life. So when it comes to it, we have to forgive to be able to see clear, to be able to live our authentic self. So we have to learn to extend and embrace forgiveness so nothing hinders our ability to live authentic lives pleasing to God. It's an everyday choice that you and I both have to make. And the way that we do that is trampling over the negative thoughts and everything that is coming through. We have to trample over it. Like, have you ever considered the tough seasons and situations God has allowed in your life that may be there for a reason, that they have a divine purpose? Because the truth is that the Lord isn't concerned with your comfort as much as he's concerned with your character. God is always in relentless pursuit of your heart and healing, and that sometimes means he allows hard things, knowing he can use them in powerful ways to accomplish his plans in you. But it requires us to find the grit and grace to trample the negatives and trust God's plan, even when we can't fully understand it. So I was reading today, and what I was reading in James, right? And James is asking us to do hard things. Like, let's be honest. If anybody's read through the book of James, there's a lot of things that if you take it seriously, it's going to hit you right in the forehead. And not only that, but like he was reminding us that God made us with a built-in ability to actually do the things that he's asking us to do. And when he finishes by telling us the end result, if we persevere, then we must, number one, stand in the mess. And what I mean by that is when I was reading James, he's encouraging us to face like tricky situations that life brings our way rather than finding a way out. While it may feel like unbearable, we have a gumption to dig deep and stick with it. Persevering will eventually produce joy. And number two, embrace the test. James is asking us to present in our mess. Right. We are to grab onto God and walk on into it. And if we choose to accept what he has allowed to come our way, knowing it's for our benefit and his glory, then our faith will mature. And number three, remember, endurance is the quest. And I think this is where we fall the most. And James, he shares the why. Right. Encouraging us that God will give us all we need to get through it. And as a result of standing in the mess and embracing the test, and our faith will prove authentic. The goal isn't avoiding pain, but instead allowing it to make us complete. Sometimes it's just a tweak in our perspective that can help tame negativity. Seeing our situation from a divine viewpoint can usher in peace, knowing that God has us in his sight. Because when we face tough situations, our response often reveals our faith. So will we complain and be negative, or will we rely on God's help? Like, will we grumble and protest or ask God for strength and wisdom? Or will we find the grit and grace that I've been talking about to be joyful and hopeful? You know, women or men, that we were made to be or not. It's just a question. Are you going to learn to trample your negatives, or are you going to adopt them? And the way you have to do that, and I'm going to come to my final point, and that's being unafraid. So through all the battles, right, that I've faced in my life, and it's been quite a bit, I've learned that when fear is connected to something, it's often because the enemy wants to keep you from it. Think about it. Every time there's fear connected to something, it's often because the enemy wants to keep you from it. And chances are there's something beautiful and amazing on the other side that he doesn't want you to possess. And if the enemy can keep you trapped in counterfeit living, too afraid to be yourself, your divinely designed future will never come to be. And he will have effectively neutralized you. But let me tell you something. Your calling is on the other side of all your fears. Stepping into your calling with the power and authority available to you requires your authenticity. You have to be willing to embrace who God created you to be. It's not a call to be perfect, but instead purposeful. And when you let him fill you with courage, untangle knots of insecurity, and cancel lies telling you to hide your true self from the world, God will bring you into a new space. And this new space is full of confidence to be yourself, no matter what anyone thinks. It gives you the boldness to live unafraid, even when criticism and judgment come your way. And while you'll most certainly, right, be afraid to live authentic, trust me, it's scary. Like, from time to time, you're still going to be afraid. But this new space helps you muster the grit and grace to war against it rather than giving into it. So God made you to be real with him, yourself, and with others. So this is something inside of you that is meant to be shared with the world, and it takes confidence to release it. There's something God baked into you that's meant to introduce the saving power of Jesus to those around you. And it's all on the other side of fear. It's normal to feel afraid, but we can't live afraid. It's not who God made you to be, nor how he wants you to live. The one who made you on purpose, your heavenly Father, who fully loves you and me, the divine designer who delights in his beautiful creation. He wants you to be you, to be authentic, and find the grit and grace that he has planted in each and every one of us to shine. I love you guys. I pray that you have a fantastic day and a fantastic evening. I want you guys to keep sending me messages. Keep sharing this, guys. If I can help at least one person and God can speak through me to reach them, then, guys, it's all been worth it. I love each and every one of you guys. Thank you once again for listening. I appreciate all that you do, and I promise you I will keep it coming. Y'all have a fantastic evening. I'm out. Peace.